Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
I guess he'll go to the next circuit, but at some point they'll put him out to stud, and he will just live the Ovechkin life for the rest of his life.
And that is
so he just goes out in the field and mounts other horses.
Basically, yeah.
That never lost
like that.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Some girl direct messaged me. You talk about messages. Yesterday, out of the blue. All right, pal. Time for you to get a stylist. I'm like, excuse me? She's like, that green jacket you wore today sucked. And I was this close to coming with a heater.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, no. I like my job. Block and move on.
The block and move on is
just out
very
of the blue.
Difficult
she's
to
like,
do.
You need a stylist. I hated that green jacket.
Why is that her prerogative to? Yeah.
And it was actually like, it was like fitting. It's a green, it was a nice bomber jacket. And she's like, the oversized green jacket you wore, I hated it. I wanted to scroll through her stuff, but she was private.
Looking for attention.
I can't do it anymore.
Looking for attention.
How can she get at you on a private message? Does she follow you and you follow
her?
Well,
I guess you can just sneak into somebody's DMs and float off a message.
Oh, of course you can. That's the world we live in.
Oh, if you request it or whatever, like,
Yeah, you send that in, I get those all the time.
Oh, yeah. You can allow it, disallow it.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the wives' room. My brother had quite the racket in the Maple Leafs wives' room.
Did he?
Strap on a feed bag before the game.
Yeah.
5 beers. Take 2 up for the first. Come back in the intermission. 2 up for the second. And then 2 up for the third.
Tell me he did that 41 times.
Whenever he wanted. He took ownership of the Maple Leaf. I'm going to text him and say, what was your routine?
Yeah, get confirmation on that. Like every detail.
Should we call him? Just call? Nah, it's not. It's not important.
Well, I'll see what he says. Like if he comes back and he's got really quality details and they're deeply rooted details.
What if he
details,
said like chicken penne pasta?
I would be shocked if he didn't. Indulge in the chicken penne pasta.
That wives room, man, like you got this whole nonsense got me thinking back to how many fiascos came out of there, because it would be depending on what team you played for, some of those wives rooms were like a full-on party, because it's completely catered, it's booze and food, and then it's a family room. It's not really called a wives room, it's a family room, but then you get all your goon buddies that come in. Like when I played for the Rangers, the green room was the place to be after the game. Go up there, there's movie stars in there. And I went up my first time after the game, and like Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon kicking
around. What was the one in L.A. where everybody went?
Oh, right at the old
right
in the L.A. Forum. Right in there, the Shark Club or something.
It was
like
the best.
That.
The coaches, like you could lose 10-0. And everybody was going up. What was that room called?
Yeah, I Ray would know it. I've been in there a few times, too.
The Olympic Club? Or no.
No, it'll come to me. But it was at the L.A. Forum. It was a
10-0. You could just go in there, movie stars, coaches, just have drinks.
It was the place to be after the game. Same thing with the Rangers setup. It was like a green room. And you go up there, and it's like the who's who was at the game. And they're having a drink afterwards. You go up. Like I think I saw like Seinfeld in there once. And like legit, like movie stars.
A-list
people watching the Rangers game.
Well, the reason we're bringing up the wives' room or the family room is because, based on a story out of Ottawa this afternoon, the wives' room at that building for Senators games, you could probably cut the tension with a knife over the past year, because what has taken place here and what has gone public? I think with a new hour, new audience, we kind of have to continue to revisit all the details here.
Right.
Eric Carlson's wife has accused Mike Hoffman's fiance of a campaign of harassment against her. So she is accusing, Melinda Carlson has accused Mike Hoffman's wife
fiance,
of fiance of hundreds, if not thousands, of tweets and Instagram comments via anonymous Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts, basically burner accounts like we just went through with the Colangelo fiasco in Philly. And we're talking vicious comments.
Yeah.
Like vicious comments. Like, allegedly.
Garbage comments.
Yes. Saying that that she wants Melinda Carlson to die and that she wants someone to take Eric Carlson's knees out to ruin his career.
Yeah, like,
and making comments about their stillborn child who was born stillborn
right.
In March.
Right.
And there were Instagram comments about that and I believe Twitter comments about that. So this was taken to court in Ottawa and the application for a peace bond was sworn in Ottawa on May 4th. So this happened over a month ago, which means the Ottawa senators have been privy to it for at least a month, but I'm sure this dates back months and months and months.
They would have known about this. The scary part is if you're a coach or, like, just say you're a coach, you're trying to coach this team and you walk into the room and you're just trying to keep it together. And it answers a lot of questions. Like, they had such a bad season last year. Like, who had a good season? Mark Stone, and Mark Stone got injured. But Craig Anderson had a terrible season. Eric Carlson had, by his standards, a bad season. Mike Hoffman, who's a really good player, was very inconsistent. Like, I looked down the list of players, and it was just a tire fire.
Well, they were second last in the league.
They were awful.
They were absolutely abysmal.
And this is a team that made the Eastern Conference final. They were one goal away from playing in the Stanley Cup final last year.
Right. So this is what we saw. What we were privy to was 82 games of just dread,
right?
Of just horror.
Yeah.
Just everything was awful about that team,
right?
But behind the scenes, by all accounts, it was even worse. It's an even bigger circus. The idea of these allegations from the Carlsons directed towards Mike Hoffman's fiance, the idea that maybe Mike Hoffman was privy to it, although to be fair to him, he issued a statement earlier this afternoon saying that they had nothing to do with this and they're going to cooperate with the courts and they want to find out who it was and wasn't them. Got the owner spouting off about money and
fans. You better
be
damn sure if he made that statement. Want to find out. Just like,
well, it's Colangelo. It's the O.J. Simpson.
Want to find the killer.
I got to find him. Oh, yeah? How's that going, O.J.?
Found him.
How's that going? You ever look in the mirror?
Yeah, 30 years later.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How do you wrap your head around this story in Ottawa?
This has been a hell of a spring there, hasn't it?
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, so you've got the allegations against Randy Lee. You've got this mess. You have the baby thing, the baby clothes that were choking and are flammable to babies.
Oh, I forgot about that. The recalling of the baby clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that seems to be a problem for children's clothing, that they're flammable and they could choke somebody. That seems to be an issue. Design flaw.
Yeah, slightly.
And then you've got the most iconic player in franchise history saying that they should get a new owner. Daniel Alfredson threw that one into the mix.
Yep.
And then he dragged the mayor into that too. Then you've got the trade rumors around Carlson. The coach, he didn't have a job for a couple of weeks. He had to go home and then present the case why he was going to be the coach again. Like, whatever the playbook is to run an organization, this is not it. Like, what a mess. How do you fix the lack of credibility to your organization, like, across the board? They've replaced Arizona right now, like, as of today, they've replaced Arizona as the biggest laughing stock in the league.
If I'm Pierre Dorion, you remember the video of Forrest Gump running out his driveway and hanging a left? That's me. I honestly, I would resign. I'd be like, this is such a joke. I can't be...
I don't think there's anything even close. Like, I don't think Arizona is even in their rearview mirror. I don't think Carolina's close.
No, I don't think
anybody's close. So many layers to it.
The Ottawa Senators are the biggest joke in hockey, and it's not close.
Yeah.
It's not close.
Yeah.
And just think, 2 years ago, they were in the Eastern Conference Final.
Imagine Carolina Hurricanes and Arizona Coyotes. They could literally tweet out grabbing popcorn. You know how people are like grabbing the popcorn, watching this tire fire. They're doing that, which is incredible to even think.
I agree.
Like, how do you how do you dig yourself out of this if you're Ottawa? I mean, it obviously it starts at the very, very top with the owner. But they have to change not only the way they played, you know, and the lack of results that went with it, but they have to now rebuild whatever level of credibility they have left. They have to rebuild it all. The way they market the team, the way that the team looks on the ice, the way that the fans are accepted to the games, like all of it has to change. And how do you do that? Like, how can you do that in the next 3 months? Because they're going to get to the draft, and there's going to be a hornet's nest around Pierre Dorion.
Oof.
Can you imagine? He's sitting there with the fourth pick. Everybody is, you know, fishing for Erik Karlsson, anyone that's interested. So now is he going to make that trade? Now he's got, we just saw last week, Pierre and Bob and Pierre LeBrun and Bob and Drakes talking about it's almost a certainty that Mike Hoffman's going to be traded. Okay, now hang on a minute. If your team X, are you making a trade for Mike Hoffman right now?
Ray, I don't think they could hand him away for free. I honestly, like, he's off the trade bait board.
What about Karlsson too? Is there leverage on Karlsson gone, Ray?
Well, all of it looks like a mess. Ugh, like, how are you going to? So the last time we saw Karlsson play, you know, prior to, you know, the terrible circumstance of his baby dying, but before that, he didn't even look like the same player health wise. So you're going to make a trade where you're going to have multiple assets going out the door to get a player that you would have questions about, like physically, never mind anything else, physically. Now he's in the middle of this mess. Like, how much risk do you want to take on? Because you can't really know the answer until you get the player.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I'd be terrified.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, again, just to recap, the story at Ottawa today is Melinda Karlsson, Erik Karlsson's wife, has filed an order of protection against the longtime girlfriend and now fiance of Senators forward Mike Hoffman, alleging a campaign of harassment that plagued the Karlssons after the death of their son and through much of last season in the NHL. It's just a remarkable story. Now, to be fair to Mike Hoffman, he has, I guess, reached out to the Ottawa Citizen, or he sent a quote out publicly and said, wasn't us, wasn't me, wasn't my fiance, we're cooperating.
Well, Brian,
we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Ray, weigh in here. Do you not have to, if you're Mike Hoffman, do you not go to your fiance and say, you have to promise me right now that this was not you or I cannot stand beside you, because this is crazy ass stuff. Like, I don't know, like, if it comes out and she's actually the one, like, I don't even know where this goes.
And I think if he knew about it, Ray, no. I think he's a parasite. I think his career might be over.
Well, why would you, now this, of course, this is all, we're all speculating on this stuff, right? So if she's involved and he knew about it,
he'll never play again.
The character of a person that could let their partner do this and knowingly do this in the confines of a team, the way a team functions, I don't know that I could have that player around.
Yeah.
On my team. Aside from the fact he's a 25 to 30 goal scorer and all that, blah, 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 all the stuff he can do on the ice, there were times, never mind this stuff, where he couldn't look less interested in what's going on. You remember the highlight late in the year?
Yeah,
I think they were
David.
Playing Edmonton.
That was the one I think I talked to you about it, Ray. Like, I mean, we do regional calls, and you try not to throw anybody under the bus, but he couldn't.
That was a tough
one. That was one of the worst lack of efforts defensively I've ever seen. And I remember kind of looking the other way, going, like, I could just go up and down him, but, you know, they'd had such a bad year. I kind of like just said, oh, he reached there, McDavid made him look bad type of thing. But I really, in our heart of hearts, I was telling Brian before the show, I was like, I remember being frustrated after the game because I probably should have said that was embarrassing. But I just, I kind of gave the organization a little bit of a pass on that because it was one of the worst efforts I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you're questioning his effort, And now you've got to try and figure this out. And if it comes out that indeed he was involved, this becomes, I guess, in the neighborhood of the Colangelo mess.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Worse.
Right?
Like,
worse.
They couldn't bring him back. Like, Philly couldn't bring him back. No. Say he didn't know anything about it, like, however that would have happened. But say Colangelo didn't. Philly still couldn't bring him back. He had to go. And I don't see how Ottawa... Could you imagine Ottawa bringing Hoffman back?
I can't, Ray, but I can't picture
Carlson's
anybody trading.
Carlson's got to go first, Ray, and then and
I can't
then
picture anybody trading for him, though, Ray. There's no... Until you get 100% confirmation that it wasn't Hoffman's fiance, or even if it was, that he had absolutely no knowledge of it, and I'm not sure he could prove that. I mean, you'd just be taking him at his word. You cannot trade for Mike Hoffman right now. You could. There's. I can't picture it. I can't picture a GM, especially in this sport.
I don't care how bad you need goals. That's
never,
not the guy.
Never. When every GM in the league, they always parrot the exact same stuff. It's about character. It's about the room. It's about making sure. You cannot say right. that out of one
it's
side of your
family.
Mouth.
It's a family.
And then acquire a guy who is caught up in a scheme like this that is just so disgusting and despicable. The allegations here, in terms of the comments and the harassment.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about someone who's taking a run at someone's looks or something. Like, taking a run at them based on their stillborn child.
Yeah.
Like, deplorable comments.
I would think, I don't know anything about it, but I would think that if there's a criminal complaint, that the abilities of law enforcement to figure out who runs a Twitter account shouldn't be too difficult, should it?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we were talking about that, Ray. It's like if the Carlsons are, they probably did their research and found out who it was.
Yeah, they're not just throwing spaghetti at the wall here. Like, when you file a claim, it's not on a hunch. To me, it's on backed up research. Regardless of what you've done, you've probably had NHL security involved or hired an IT firm to figure out where the IP address of this nonsense came from. Like, you've probably, and Carlson has the financial resources to do this. They're not just waking up one day and going, nah, we're going to blame that person over there.
We don't like her. She's been mean
this,
to me in
this
the past.
This is a real... like thought out process, I would imagine, and Brian, you pointed this out too. This claim was filed a month ago, so like this has been ongoing for a long time.
Oh, the Sens organization has just been waiting for it to go public.
Well, Ray, we were talking about the possibility if they went to the organization and said, "Make this garbage stop," and they didn't do anything about it, and then like I don't know.
That's the next layer to this, don't you think, Ray? Like that's how it continues into next year. Is that a bombshell report comes out in September? That Carlson went to Melnick and Dorion and said, you got to make it stop, and they didn't do anything or whatever. You know, but that's the third party involved is what did ownership and management and the coaching staff know?
And when did they know it?
And when did they know it?
Well, I would hope the Carlsons didn't take this lawsuit lightly. Like, to make these allegations, as you guys were talking about, they're very aware of their part in all of this. Their part being that they're the most visible people in the organization. And if they say today's Wednesday, everybody stands up and takes notice because we all know it's Tuesday. They level these allegations, I would hope and assume that they're relatively certain about what's going on. And it's brutal. It was a brutal story to read today. And whatever the next day or two is going to come out, it makes me uncomfortable to think that, like, these are people's lives and careers that are going to be directly affected by what this mess is all about.
Ray, you're right. And, you know, Ray, I said I feel bad, and I'm sure you're the same way. We're around this team a lot, and they're very nice to deal with. Like, I don't know how... Yeah. You know, your relationship with, but on so many levels, Pierre Dorion's very accessible. The PR guys work with us, like, and the players are very accessible. But can you imagine if this was going on since November? Like, you have to wonder why. I mean, this would have fractured a dressing room on so many different levels. And now you're looking back and you're connecting the dots of why this team was so brutal on so many nights where there were guys looked uninterested or they weren't buying into the system. And like now you can say, like, here's a storyline that could have been ongoing for months.
Jamie, I talk about it all the time when I say it's not only bad on the ice, but the term I use is it looks like there's something wrong.
Yeah, like something smells.
Something smells. They hate the coach. There's something happened in that locker room. And a lot of times there's something wrong. It's not just bad team, like bad goaltending, bad penalty kill. There's something seriously wrong in the locker room.
And as we've just said, like, this is unfixable.
Oh, like, God.
In its current form, it's unfixable. What they have to do here in the next couple of weeks is try and get to the bottom of what the hell just happened. Finalize their plan with Carlson, because you know they're going to make him an offer that he's going to turn down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be their route to say, look, we've gone as far as we can. He decided he can't sign this extension, so then they're going to have to move him. Like, that seems to be the most logical thing for me.
Well, getting rid of both of the players involved in this is the only really way to make it go away.
But can you imagine, like, what would that Senators team even look like? And that's just the first step to rebuilding everything in Ottawa. Like, everything. Nothing can really be the same. Because it can be, but there would be nothing I would want to be the same that it would tie me to this mess.
Right.
Because we do know 2 years ago was a lightning bolt. That was how it happened. Nobody's really quite sure, but it did. And so to say we're just a little bit away from getting back there. No, you're not. You're miles and miles and miles and miles away from that.
Well, and this is setting up, and it was setting up to be this way prior to this news breaking, the most important offseason maybe in franchise history, because they're more than likely, I think we all think it's 100% now, but we know in sports, crazy things can't happen, but more than likely going to trade the best player in franchise history, your captain, in his prime, with terms still left on the deal. So if you don't hit a grand slam after the Duchesne debacle, and that's what it looks like right now, Your organization is set back light years. We're talking Milbury light years. And someone texting in here with an interesting point, and this is a completely different level and layer to all this. I would not be shocked. Now, it rarely happens. I can't remember the last time it happened in hockey. Maybe it was Lindros back in the early 90s. But I wouldn't be shocked if prospects say, don't take me with the fourth overall pick. I'm not coming.
Well, they don't have the right.
Why not?
Are they Eric Lindros all of a sudden?
Who cares? I wouldn't want
to. So the fourth overall pick thinks they're good enough to turn down an organization?
Absolutely. The fourth overall pick? Why wouldn't you be able
ridiculous.
To say that?
That's ridiculous. All of a sudden they're going to be like...
there's no 18-year-old going to do that.
Exactly. There's not a chance.
Well, the agent might.
Mitch Marner's going to say no to the Leafs because they're a disaster.
The Leafs weren't this, Noodles.
I know, but I'm just saying, you can't... like no player in the history... other than Eric Lindros has told a team not to draft.
That's him. Hockey. I mean, it happens in other sports.
It happens in the OHL where they're like, no thanks, not in the NHL.
Not in the NHL.
Not fourth overall.
But I know what you're saying, Brian. I know what you're saying. It's such a debacle, but...
It's the greatest day of your life you got drafted there, but you'd have to... let's be honest. If you went to this team, you'd be like, I can't believe I'm going to Ottawa.
No kidding.
You'd be like, I can't believe I'm going to this team.
Yes. You know what I thought when I read this story? Last week, when the Colangelo story broke, we're all like, you know, how amazing it was and incredible, and can you believe it? And then at the end of it, you know, I think, oh, bloody NBA, man. They've always got something going on. And now it's hockey.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell did that... we always like to think about ourselves in a, you know, good guys, and this stuff happens in other sports, and then all of a sudden you got this mess. And you're like, how the hell did that even... come about? Like, how do you even get to this point? And so, to your point earlier, guys, about what went on behind the door that we never saw, there's no question now this had to be a train wreck from almost the get-go.
Yeah.
Last year, from the very beginning, all of it.
It's...
you know, Carlson wasn't ready, the expectations were different, like, they couldn't meet those expectations. They trade Turris. Like, it was all of it. Just a mess.
Well, and now you tie, like, to me, you tie some lines to it where the guys escaped. You know, a guy like Phaneuf moved on. I believe Duchesne's a better player than Turris, personally. But I mean, you know, Turris moved on, and even he took shots at the organization afterwards.
No,
I mean,
his wife did too.
That's a thing. Like I this is the world we live in. No, wives and girlfriends, man, yeah. They're like,
they're a part of the ball.
That's the
game.
One thing I would say if I was an athlete now, and it's not even just wives and girlfriends. It's going to be brothers, parents, all of that. Like, you agents. Have to have a heart-to-heart with the people involved in your life to make sure that they're not causing you grief. Like,
you know what I just thought, Noodle?
What's
don't
that?
Don't help me. Don't help me.
Yeah.
Like, to my family, don't help me. I got enough trouble. The more you help, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, right or wrong, I used to say to my girlfriend, can you just come to the games and enjoy the game? I don't need any trouble. I don't need garbage. I don't need you associating with these women. Just come to the game and support your boyfriend. That's all I want. If you want to have a beer, yeah, go ahead. Don't go in the wise room. Don't cause problems. Don't meet these other people. Just forget it. Just come to the game and watch the great veteran play.
Oh, yeah.
What number are you again?
92.
Oh,
down at the War Memorial. Come and watch the great veteran skate.
Oh, that is outstanding. Oh, I would have loved to have heard that speech.
Just an all-time epic speech. Winston Churchill of the NHL.
It's just poisonous.
I love it, though.
Anyway, there's so much to still get into. I mean, we
I felt like that was our shortest conversation.
We got an hour and a half with Ray. Like, if we literally could blow out all the commercials and just
think this Ekman Larson stuff, we'll have to get to it tomorrow, but he's on the verge of signing a long-term deal. And I mean, that's just another example where it's more about comfort and familiarity, and that's the loyalty. That's the hockey way. Like, for we've been saying for years, what a tire fire. How could you possibly want to stay? They're brutal. No, I'll stay. Like,
8 years.
You know, that's what happens in the NHL. They don't move.
Well,
they don't leave.
Here's what. Just think. So this is why he stays, right? So he gets the 8th year at 8.25. So he's already 8.25.
Last year, too.
Oh, so he's $8.25 million ahead. Arizona doesn't have state tax, do they?
No.
Okay, so he's millions ahead now, right, already. Yep. 8.2 plus the state tax, he's now ahead. The team actually looks pretty good. Like, there's, hey, I think they can be, a really good team. I don't think they're very far away from being a competitive team again. Look at the way they finished. When I say again, I don't even know when the last time they were.
Yeah, so I think they're a couple years away from those young guys.
Yeah, but they're on the move.
Yeah.
Now, the arena? No, I don't know what they could have promised them, but that almost becomes like, yeah, we'll figure that out, but I'll take the $64-65 million. I'll figure it out later, and I get to live in Phoenix.
Well, I don't blame
them
for that.
That's how they make their decision,
still,
right? Like,
man.
That's the decision. That's it.
I hear you, but that means winning is way down the list. Like, and that's fine. I mean, it's a business, but anyway, we'll get into it tomorrow. And
okay, you know what we should do, though? We should start a ticker, a counter, for between now and the draft, how many times a manager or a coach or somebody says, you know, if you can just get into the playoffs, we can make a run. Because it'll be countless times, and they'll quote, you know, Ottawa's 2 years ago goes to the Eastern Conference Final. Vegas goes this year. L.A. won the Cup whenever they won the Cup, 2012 or something or other. So they'll all be quoting this. And so Arizona will say, hey, if we can just get in, we could make a run. No, you can't. But it'll happen. I bet you we'll hear it 10 times between now and the draft.
Yep, at least. At least.
And so that's because you're more mature, because you just had your birthday, Brian, this is on you to do.
Well, I'll get after it. And I want to shout out to a lot of people that are pointing out, back in the 80s, a lot of prospects were telling the Leafs, don't pick me. Craig Simpson, I'm pretty sure, told the Leafs, don't take me. He didn't go first overall. There were other kids, too. But anyway, that's a conversation for a different
day.
One. All right, Ray, we got to fly. We'll talk to you
later,
tomorrow at 5.
Have a good one.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I really don't think it's that outrageous to suggest that a pick that high would be like, don't take me.
Craig Simpson told the Leafs, don't take me?
I'm pretty sure he said, don't take me.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that he said, don't take me. Anyway, we'll look into that. We'll get more details into it. That was Harold Ballard. That was the Leafs were a disaster. I don't blame them for saying I didn't want to play for you, but Ottawa's equally as big of a disaster.
All right, the Ballard years? I don't know. This is a social media spat and stuff. This isn't a guy who was...
Eugene Melnyk is telling the fans, I'm not going to waste my money on this team.
You think that Melnyk is as bad as Ballard?
No, not yet. But not he's yet. Creeping in that direction. He's the modern
version.
He's sniffing around.
He's the 10% of Ballard.
I don't know about that. 10% of... Anyway, we'll talk about it with Bob McKenzie in the next hour. Bob would remember all these details.
Do you ever just, like, take a step back? I know we have to discuss this. And, like, have you guys not taken a step back and said, is this actually... like,
it's real.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
It's
real. The Raptors have their man. New head coach.
Positive vibe on a Tuesday.
Tom Stirner, the former assistant coach of the Raptors. We'll chat about that next. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Nick Nurse will be announced as the new head coach for the Raptors, and he had been, I think, in the driver's seat since day one. His name had always been out there ever since Masai Ujiri decided to fire Dwayne Casey, that Nick Nurse was a guy that he was actively seeking out, or at least was going to really consider for the job, and it turns out that he ended up getting the job. Now, I wonder how much of that was because Budenholzer said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm out of here and going to Milwaukee, and maybe there weren't any other candidates out there that really sparked the interest of Masai Ujiri, but it took him a while. I mean, Nurse has been in town for 5 years. He's been on the staff for 5 years. So what took so long?
Waiting his time. He was developing.
I guess he was developing, exactly. And we're joined now by a former colleague of Nick Nurse, a former assistant here in Toronto with the Raptors. Here is Tom Stirner. How you doing, Tom?
Great, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We're doing good. Brian sent out a tweet about, you know, Nurse coming in and trying to fix things. My belief is this roster is just not good enough to compete with a LeBron James in Cleveland. Do you not agree with that? I mean, you can change coaches, but if you don't upgrade the personnel, it's just going to be the same story written all over again.
Well, that's certainly a job for all of the teams in the Eastern Conference, because nobody in the Eastern Conference has beaten a LeBron James team yet, at least not in recent years. So I think not only does it have with the change in the coaching position, but you're right. More importantly, it has to do with how can you beef up the roster if LeBron James stays in Cleveland and they return for another year. How do you go about and handle the matchup with him? Because Boston gave you a little bit of a insight, you know, with Morris being the guy to go out and defend him, and you don't ever really stop LeBron. But I thought Morris did a pretty decent job of, like, slowing him down. And then when they add Kyrie and Hayward next year to the roster, Boston's going to have a formidable team.
As for Nurse and his role over the past 5 years, my reaction here was he's been on the team. He's been a part of this ride where the Raptors cannot get past LeBron and choke every time they face him. If Nick Nurse had the answer for the past 5 years, why did he not reveal it to Dwayne Casey? Why will it all of a sudden be revealed now that he's the head coach?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, like Nick will have a different approach. Nick will have, you know, like I spent a lot of time with Nick. So from a personality standpoint, you're talking about two different people. Both have strengths. And Case certainly was a guy who got the team to be able to perform better and better every year. And you're right, if the only measure that you have is the fact that you're saying, can he beat LeBron? I go back again and say nobody has. Nick will take it differently. Nick's a communicator, a great offensive mind. I think he will change the style a little bit. I know he's been responsible a lot for how the offense has evolved, and certainly he has a great offensive mind. But I think he'll bring it that maybe push it even more and play a little faster pace and try to up-tempo. But collectively what has to happen is he and Masai have to get together, and they have to be able to look at the roster and say, do we have enough? Do we have the right pieces? And they have to do it together. And if they do, then they can go and attack the Cleveland Cavaliers or whoever it is that's going to be at the top of that conference in the East.
With Tom Stirner, former assistant coach of the Raptors, he worked alongside Nick Nurse for a couple of years. Back when you worked with him, did you always have the impression that he was a head coach in the making? He had head coach material, so to speak?
No question. Nick and I would spend hours together. Nick not only is a brilliant offensive mind, but he's a guy who we would sit there and play this what-if game. 3 seconds to go, you're down one. I'd ask him what he's running. she'd ask me how we're defending it. And we would go back and forth on every situation. So one of the things, you know, along with what Coach Case did was we were prepared. We knew exactly what we were doing. So from that standpoint, he was preparing himself back when I was an assistant there to be a head coach in the league. He's been a head coach other places, been successful, a long-time assistant, been around from back in the days when he played in Northern Iowa and then started there as an assistant coach. But the fact that he's been so many places and seen different things, I think, gives him a great opportunity. I mean, he's got a great opportunity in front of him, and he had a great mentor and Case to be able to learn from, and he's going to be able to have his own twist on how he wants to go ahead and move forward. So, you know, from that standpoint, I certainly believe they made the right decision in hiring Nick for the job as a head coach for the Raptors.
Although Nick's probably pretty jacked up, it's his first head coaching job in the NBA. Like, how jacked up do you think he really is? Like, a lot of times, Tom, when like it's a high-profile guy, you go out and you get your guy, you make a statement, it's done early. They kind of, you know, they were going out and visiting some guy in Lithuania, and then they were talking to this guy or that guy and waiting around. I mean, how good do you really think he feels about this promotion? I mean, well, he's probably on top of the world, but...
The process, though, it's not.
Yeah,
like,
the process. I mean, it was kind of Mickey Mouse. I thought the whole process of it.
He didn't fire Casey and then hire Nurse that day. He took his time.
Well, and I don't know if that would have been necessarily the right move either. But you know, Masai did his due diligence and went out and explored. And so from that standpoint, he can tell the public that I turned over every stone and talked to everybody. And so from that perspective, you know, he's trying to present himself as a guy who's doing his job. You're right. I thought that, you know, could have let 2 or 3 weeks and Nick was the guy. I mean, he's certainly a communicator. One of the things that Nick does well is, you know, he communicates with the players. I think he has an ear. But I also think he has a firmness about him and a way to be able to get his message across to the team. It's going to be different. Yeah.
Okay, we got to throw him on hold because that cell reception is...
It went.
Garbaggio.
Yeah,
we're starting to trend downwards.
Quickly.
I saw you look towards the glass. You had had enough, but it was a good answer.
Yeah. I mean, well, listen, he knows Nick Nurse well.
Exactly.
He worked alongside him for a couple of years and supports the decision.
He's supportive of him.
Yeah. And listen, by all accounts, Nurse, again, he's a basketball lifer. Mm-hmm. He's an offensive basketball savant. He's going to have a different voice and a different approach.
Right.
But... is he going to be better than what Dwayne Casey was? I guess we got to find out. Let's be honest. Those are big shoes to fill. That's the best coach in franchise history.
Right.
A guy who's more than likely going to win Coach of the Year. 59 wins a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's possible for him to prove it in year one that all of a sudden he's this great all-time head coach. It's going to take some time. Now, Masai hired him with the ability to give him that time.
Right.
And he's going to have to work his magic. But I think we have Tom Sterner back. You got us, Tom?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry.
Tom, you were mentioning Masai, and it's not like I'm tired of this hype around Masai, but do you not think he's kind of on the clock? I'm kind of fed up with him being described as this genius basketball executive, and at the end of the day, I don't know really what he has done to prove that.
Well, you're going to find out, because now he gets to hire his guy, and you're right. The tide turns a little bit.
Well, he's,
you
on
know,
the clock
the
now, isn't he?
Focus was on Case and what Case did or didn't do, and like I say, all Case did was just kept on winning games, you know, and getting better every year. So now it's going to turn a little bit, and Masai's going to have to look at the roster hard. I mean, you're going to have to take a look at the performance of the star guys. I mean, I love DeMar and Kyle, but their inconsistencies in the playoffs certainly points to, do we have the right mix? Do we have the right guys? You know, when you take a look at what Masai's done in terms of the second unit, he added a very good second unit. But when it comes playoff time, you know, as we saw this year, those guys are going to get a little bit better. They'll be a little bit better next year because of the experience they had this year. But you still need the key core guys to be your guys. And so when it gets down to that, I think that's the evaluation that has to take place this summer for the Raptors in order to get back on top and, again, to push past and get to that Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, without question, the most important offseason of his tenure here. It's not even close because you've already made this decision that Dwayne Casey was not the guy, and he didn't explain it properly. He still hasn't explained it. He still has not given an adequate explanation as to why Dwayne Casey isn't here. All Masai basically said was, well, it was time for change. Okay, you made the change. You have the right to make that change. You're the president of the team. Now you're bringing in the assistant coach who's been here for 5 years, who's been along for the ride, that obviously didn't have the answers either or couldn't contribute or get them across to Casey enough where Casey would implement them. That's a tough sales pitch. And you got to make some sort of roster move. Because if he comes back with the exact same roster and he's just promoted the assistant coach...
Wouldn't you go a step further and say an impact roster move?
Absolutely. That's the NBA in a nutshell. Yeah, exactly. Everyone else is improving by getting these stars or trying to get these stars.
That's...
And what are the Raptors going to do? I mean, what's a reasonable expectation for their offseason, Tom?
Well, I think you have to look at your two key pieces in Kyle and DeMar, and certainly they've been the cornerstone, but at this point in time, either you have to be able to orchestrate a trade to bring in a third piece. Let's go down the list. You know, outside of Cleveland, who has LeBron probably arguably maybe the best guy in the league or whatever. But then when you look at Golden State, the three pieces they have out there in Thompson, Curry, and Durant, those guys certainly can carry. And as we've seen in the playoffs, they don't have to carry every night. And so Toronto doesn't have that third piece. You know, they don't have that guy. Ibaka's a great role player. JV's a great role player. But outside of that, you don't have it. So you've got to find a way either by making a trade to get another piece there to be able to be a guy that you can rely on every night, or you're going to be right back to where you were from this past year.
Great stuff as always, Tom. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
There's Tom Stirner, former assistant coach of the Raptors and worked alongside Nick Nurse for a couple of years on that staff.
You're right. He shouldn't just get 1 year, but if Casey wins 59 games, gets coach of the year, and say you win 50 next year, it's we're measuring him at this time next year.
Very difficult
and it's
position to be
like,
in for
don't
him.
You feel like he's almost in a...
Lose-lose
situation.
It's a crazy scenario to think that a guy gets 59 wins and you go to his assistant coach to get you over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems bizarre to me.
Well, it could be happening with Barry Trotz in Washington.
Unless he's blowing Trotz it up, could, though. Unless Masai's blowing it up.
That will be interesting to see
and
how this hire...
And going to have this guy, Nurse, as an interim coach for the next couple years and help him grow with it. Like, Masai may have went to him and said, I'm trading one or both of those guys.
Mm-hmm. He may have.
And you're right. It may happen with Trotz in Washington where Todd Reirden slides, right? And he's the head coach.
After the guy wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Cup parade down in Washington. We'll get to the Ovechkin audio. Not quite Corey Crawford, but pretty close. He had a pretty good couple of statements. And Bob McKenzie coming up, our hockey insider. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Bob McKenzie coming up in the next hour. A couple of parades, one in D.C., one out in the Bay Area today. Draft around the corner for the NBA and the NHL. Free agency around the corner. Jays losing last night at the Trop. The Marlies are at the Rico tonight. The Calder Cup will be in the building, will be in the house. Tee that up in the next hour. I don't think Dermott's going to play, or at least he's a game-time decision. But
now, Nielsen slid in for him last game.
Mm-hmm. We could have a championship team in the city tonight. So we'll get to that in the next hour as well. And we'll recap this story out of Ottawa. It's wild. If you missed it,
insane.
We'll just continue to hammer away at this.
This is on so many levels.
On
we
so
could talk
levels.
All night. We could shut this down and just talk.
And we will all week.
And yell and scream about
all week.
It.
There's so much to get into here. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.